Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're in week three of the Legacy series. We've been talking about legacy living. I've also been sharing legacy initiatives that I believe God's put in our heart over the next 15 to 20 years as a church. Now, legacy is really, when you think about legacy, think in this terms. Legacy is not what you consume, but rather what you leave behind. We live in a consumer culture. And I don't say this to put down, really, I joke a lot about how our government spends money ridiculously, but the reality of it is there are some very, very good people in government. But without exception, without question, without any controversy, it is without question that we are borrowing money that our great, great, great grandchildren will have to pay off. That's the opposite of legacy. It's saying, I want something now, I need something now, so I'm going to get it and I'm going to put the burden on future generations. So you can see that as you live in a godly culture, when you try to live for God, when you think differently, you go against virtually everything in culture. Our culture, for example, it's very clear. We're living in a world where we're borrowing for what we want now so our great-grandchildren can pay it off. Now, really, to be honest with you, if you really want to think that through a little bit, that's immoral. But as a Christian, you are called to leave a legacy. Now, sure, there's a lot you need to consume, and I consume in my life. But it's rather what we leave behind. The question I had to ask is the pastor. See, next weekend, we celebrate 20 years as a church. It's incredible. I don't know that I'm old until I look at Steve Moore, and he's a good friend of mine. He's old as dirt, and we're the same age. And there's John Spencer. I mean, he was a contemporary of Abraham Lincoln. Oh, they feel bad. They don't know, Spence. They don't know. But here's the deal, guys. Really what God began to put in my heart is this. What does He want this church to look like 15 to 20 years from now? We can't think short-sighted as God's people. And let me ask you a really important question for yourself. What is your life supposed to look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years? You might say, well, hey, look, Pastor John, you're talking 20 years. I'm at a pretty old age. I don't know that I'll be here in 20 years. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a really important question for you. You say, well, I'm 25. I mean, come on, I've got my whole life in front of me. Can I tell you that right now is the time to start to think legacy? Right now, because when you think legacy, you begin to work in concert with the hand of a mighty God and boundaries that were given and gifted to you by your family, problems that were given to you by the way you were raised. And I'm not putting down our families, but we all have a little crazy in our families, don't we? All right. We all have a lot of crazy in our families. Yeah. All the crazy said, and all the people married to crazy people said, oh, that was louder. That's a dangerous. Problem of being the crazy one in the marriage, you think it's normal. You really do. Until your children and your wife sit you down and say, you're a very abnormal person, but we love you. But when you live this way, the boundaries, the problems that can stagger people, stop people, cause them to not fulfill their potential, you begin to live at a whole other level. And so God wants you to move beyond an ordinary life. He really does. Say it out loud. I shouldn't have an ordinary life. God does not want you to live an ordinary life. My fear for you is that you'll live one. It really is that you'll get up and you'll live and you'll live your existence on this earth and never fulfill what you were intended to. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Bucket List with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson? That is a great movie. It puts so much perspective in your life. And so I ask, I personally have a bucket list. Things I've put together that some of them are just frivolous. Some of them are meaningful. Some of them I'll call my natural bucket list. And the ones that are really important to me are my spiritual bucket list, other than the things that relate to my kids. And let me just take a moment and confess some of my bucket list to you, okay? One of them is this. I want to get back to 185 in the best shape of my life. Go ahead and laugh. It's all right. It's okay. Now, I figured if I can get that part of my bucket list done first, I'll have longer to do the rest of my bucket list. And so for about the last 6-7 weeks or so, I've been in earnest starting, and it's not like fad thing. I'm saying over the next 10 months or so, I'm going to do this, be consistent. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm not going to think about food anymore like the best thing that ever happened on the planet. I figured after 10 months of focus and training, and maybe I'll change some anyway. But here was the problem. I needed some accountability. I wanted someone to work out with me. Pastor Zach, I've asked him. So for 6 weeks, at 5:30 in the morning, he's been showing up at my house. We've been lifting weights 3 days a week. The problem is he looks like this. It's like working out with a before and after picture. And no matter what I do at 53, that ain't never happening again. I think I will be dead for at least 6 weeks before I'm that size. But that's okay. But listen, but most people don't dream. You tell people, dream again. Sometimes people never have dreams. Life can be tough. I have dreams in my heart that some of them are well, that's not so frivolous, because now when I was in my 30s, that would have been an ego thing to want to be thin. Now it's health. You know, you get in your 50s, you're reading different numbers. You're looking at the scale for a whole other reason. You're reading cholesterol numbers. Has anybody been there? Okay, don't look at me in that tone of voice if you haven't. But, you know, I want to go to Italy with my wife. I've never been to Italy. My family members that still live there. We were planning to go there when we were coming back from Africa 20 years ago. But Michelle was pregnant with Ryan, and she was 8 months pregnant, so it probably wasn't a wise thing to stop off in Italy. I want to go to Italy with my wife and kids someday. And I want to go visit my family in different parts of Italy. I want to go to the house my grandfather was born in. It's still there. And that's just something on my bucket list. I want to help my kids fulfill their dreams. I don't mean I want to meddle into their lives forever. But I have warned them, if you move away from me, I will get an RV and show up at your house like Cousin Eddie. You will see me in the front yard emptying something in your sewer. And if you see what I wear around my house, I won't look much different than Cousin Eddie. So don't leave me. I will show up in your front yard with an RV. And I will not leave until the police make me. Because they'll call the police, evidently. But I want grandchildren. That's on my bucket list. You say, well, you don't have much to do about that. And I've given 3 kids life, me and my wife together, you know. So all least they can do after all this work is get me some grandkids someday. And I want grandkids. And I promise you, and I give God my word, I will ruin those children. Don't bring grandkids to my house. Dad, we're vegans. Shut up, they're eating salami at my house. They will live. We're really health nuts. Well, shut up, not in my house. Sugar sandwiches with ice cream for my grandkids, and we will throw marshmallows at cars when they drive by. Yes. I'm going to teach my child bad things. Yes, it is my job. And you grandparents said, amen. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. I want a condo on the beach someday to go there with my wife and kids. I love the beach. I love the beach. See, these are things that, look, I don't have money to go buy a condo, but I can still have a wish list, right? You've got a dream. You've got to get you a bucket list. I want to go back to Africa with Michelle to all the cities and all the little towns and villages that we've traveled and spoken to 25 years ago. I'm going to go back to those places. 20 years ago, we were there. 25 years ago, we spent a year there about 21 years ago. And I'd love to go city to city, town to town, and go to those places where we were. I'd love to do that. You know, this is one of my bucket lists I really, really want to do. I want to go back to Cape Town, South Africa. Has anybody ever heard of Table Mountain in Cape Town, South Africa? Here's a picture of it. It's remarkable. The beauty of that is, right at the base of that mountain is the city of Cape Town. And that's the bay, and you're looking across. And that is 1 mile directly out of the water, the top of that mountain. It's kind of hard to get the perspective. And we went up there on a cable car, and we stood on top of Table Mountain, and that was 25 years ago. I want to go back to Table Mountain, and I want to stand on top of that mountain again with my wife. And no longer will we be kids, we'll be older. And I don't know when this will happen, but I want to hold her hand. And I want to talk about all the things God did in our life. and I want to look over that city with her, and I want to talk about how good God's been to us, the things that we've seen happen in our lifetime. That's just something on my bucket list. Every person needs to dream in their heart. Now, I have a spiritual bucket list as well. And this one, I got to tell you guys, is so meaningful because this is the one that's eternal. This one is the one where, that I mean this sincerely, in the next 5 years, in this room, I want to see 10,000 people raise their hand, give their life to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm believing with all my heart to see that. I want every person who's a part of this church, who comes to Victory Family Church, I want you to fulfill the reason that you live on planet Earth. It means more to me than I don't know how. Sometimes words seem so inadequate. They fail you when you try to communicate spiritual values. But I want people to not be bound to their past. I'm desperate to see people live for the reason Jesus created them. I want to train in the next 15 to 20 years of my life. I want to start a school of ministry, not just a Bible school, but where I can invest time on Monday nights with people, whether they're young or old. How many of you know God uses old people? How many of you know people discover their calling and yield to their calling? It isn't always in their 20s. I want to be able to work with those people and invest my life. You say, well, I'm too old. Listen, God's called the Ancient of Days. He's still tearing it up. All right, you're all right. And I want to invest the next 15 to 20 years of my life investing in people with a call in their life to teach them the things about ministry. And one of the major things that I know that I've learned in 30 years of ministry is what do you do when God's put something in your heart and there's more obstacles in front of you than you can ever. You can't even list the obstacles, let alone overcome them. How do you walk with God by faith through the obstacles of life to fulfill the purpose of your life when it's a calling that's not about you, but about other people? And I know that it's one of our initiatives that I believe God's put in our heart. Another one of those initiatives is that we're going to help 300 churches in the Northeast double their influence, double their effectiveness, and double their attendance. And I want to see soul winning churches. I'm tired of hearing about what God is doing in other parts of the country. The most populated part of our nation is the Northeast, and it is a dearth for churches like this, and that needs to change. And we have a call to help change that for other churches. We're going to see that come to pass. And then I'll talk to you in a minute about one of the initiatives. The last one is that I want to leave this ministry in my next 15 to 20 years as I transition out of my role as the founding pastor. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing ministry, but I won't be the senior pastor of this church forever. You say, well, who will take it over? I don't know. But let me tell you, the young people in this church are incredible people. We have incredible young people in this church. And I hear people disparage the next generation. Let me tell you about the young men and women in this church, 20s and 30-somethings, that are walking with God. They're doing it in a culture that's gone nuts. And they are solid about God. They're serious about God. And they're not moving. And we are in great hands for the future of this church. And I mean that with everything in my heart. They're incredible young men and women. I want to train them. But I want to leave this church to them, this campus, debt-free. And I believe that's part of our call. I told you that this was a pivotal moment in our church, and it is. The 20-year mark for most churches is usually the beginning of the end for most churches in the history of churches like ours. And what I'm seeing is that it's literally a new beginning. As we begin to, and we're still going to be really aggressive. We're going to do all the things that we're here to do. But I'm telling you, in the next 15 to 20 years, there's some things I know God's put in my heart that we're going to see them come to pass. If you want to see the things God has for you come to pass as an individual, if we're ever going to see them as a church, you and I have to make a decision to take the limits off of God. See, most people in their religious mindset, it's just the opposite. That they think we're waiting on God, and it's not true. We're not waiting for God to do something. God is waiting for us to yield to His power. Listen to what the Scripture says, Psalm 78, verse 40 through 42. It says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. Now listen, and they limited the Holy One of Israel, for they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. See, when you think of your life in terms of your limits, you'll limit God. But when you think of your life in terms of your purpose, today I want you to understand before you leave today how God designed you to live a fulfilled life. And if you'll live within that design, you'll live a fulfilled life. And when a person is fulfilled, they have passion. And when a person has passion, they have energy. Most people that lack energy don't lack energy because, now there are physical reasons, of course, and there can be, you know, organic reasons why a person lacks energy. Apart from those things, most people that lack energy do so because they lack a passion. They don't have something to live for bigger than themselves. And I really want to encourage you how today to take the limits off of God. How to move beyond your own needs. And we all have them. And there'll be seasons of our life when they'll be more pronounced than others. But how to live beyond them to do something amazing for God. How many of you had psychology in college? Psych 101 at least. If you had 101 psych, and this is no offense to any psychology teachers, but I got to tell you, in my experience, my psych teachers in college were a little crazy. Anybody had crazy psych teachers? No, I'm serious. We had one that was bleep, 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 that's all, folks. Crazy. Okay? No, I'm serious. Can I tell you a story? I wasn't going to do this, but I'll tell you. Came up. My wife tells me when these things come up, I should not do this. But she's not in the service today, so. I had a psych teacher who was had a baby. And this is one of those big classes of 300-400 students. And she would nurse her baby during class or in this day when we were taking a test. And that's okay. Have anybody ever been to Africa? No, I'm serious. Living in Africa, it was a culture shock for me because nursing in Africa was not like America. Let's just say there weren't no blankets. Okay? Well, so she begins to nurse like, it's out there, okay? How do you say this? Maybe Michelle was right. So you have to go hand in your chest, right? So, you know, I'm kind of walking like this. It's just a little awkward. I mean, stuff's out there, right? I mean, out there. And so she yells at me, "Look at me! Look at me!" I'm like, "Yes." She said, If you don't look at me, you're going to do damage to my child." I'm thinking, lady, the damage to your child ain't on this side of the table. I was just thinking out loud, handing in my test and get out of there. You know, I was like, well, in Psych 101, you probably learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Abraham Maslow in 1954 did a study, and he studied the people like Albert Einstein. He studied college graduates. Now, in 1954, that was a rare thing culturally by percentage in the nation. And the reason he did it is he wanted to find people who weren't captured or stuck in the needs of life, but people who had maybe transcended those basic daily needs and were living maybe more so out of their purpose. And he wanted to find out what made those people fulfilled. And this has morphed since 1954, and Maslow started with 7, now there's 8. And the first 4 he referred to as deficiency needs, or they're referred to as such, and they kind of talk about the things that you just need as a person. Then the last 4 he referred to as growth needs, the things that brought fulfillment in people. And so let me just real quickly go through them with you, and I won't take a lot of time on this. But the first 4 were physiological needs, which is basically you have to breathe, you have to eat, you have to sleep. How many of you, you know, we all have those needs. Safety needs, you know, the desire for a roof over your head, lodging, borders to a nation, just these natural safety needs that we have as people. Then love and belonging needs. We all have that. These are basic needs. It's why the social networks like Twitter and Facebook took off. It's why people like that, because we have these love or belonging needs. And there's nothing wrong with these needs. But if you never get beyond the first 4, you'll never be fulfilled. And the 4th of the first 4 is esteem. The need to be recognized or to have achievement in your life or to be complimented. It's when you basically care about 2 things is your self-image. That is how you see yourself. And then how you believe others perceive or see you. It's why before you came to church today, you looked in a mirror. It's why you wanted to make sure that you looked okay and presentable before you left the house. Now, men and women do that very differently. I got to tell you this. Men will go past the mirror, look at the mirror and go, and they're done. Because how many of you men like me have heard this statement from your wife? "Are you going to wear that?" Well, I'm guessing since it's on me, The answer is yes. I said, do you? Now, and earlier in our marriage, I would be upset. And I said, baby, it's fine. Don't make me change. Don't make me change. But now I've learned through the years to just say, honey, is there something you would prefer I wear? She would go, yes. Why don't you wear a shirt that matches? My wife will come to me and she will hold up two shoes. No, better yet, she will put them on. And she will stand in front of me and say, which one of these shoes do you like? Now, can I tell you just real honestly, Michelle will tell you this if you ask her honestly, she does not value my opinion about that at all. Why she asks me, I have no idea, but she does it consistently, and I'll look and I'll pick one. Sometimes I pick the right one, sometimes I pick the wrong one, because there's no idea what I said. But I've been married 25 years. Let me tell you something you've never heard in my house in 25 years. Michelle, what shoes do you think go with these pants? My wife is constantly saying to me, you need to go buy clothes. You cannot wear the same thing for 5 years. You speak in public. I said, watch me. Anyway, that's just family stuff. Okay, shut up. So all of us have these needs. All of us have them. All of us have them. The first four, of course, refer to our deficiencies. And it's not bad. It's not bad that you have these needs. We all have them. But for most people, they never get out of these four. And they get stuck there. And they never live their life in a place of fulfillment. Can I tell you that many people today that are depressed, not all of them are depressed for organic or reasons of the, just their body chemistry. And that's one of the reasons, okay? I'm not diminishing that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be seeing a good counselor. They do amazing work. So don't misinterpret this. But can I tell you that there are many people that you can give them medication for the rest of their life. You can have them talk to a counselor for the rest of their life. Until they learn to live beyond these four, they will never be fulfilled. And you can maybe help them get through the bad feelings. But can I tell you, there's a better way than just managing bad feelings. There's a way to live beyond the present. There's a way to live beyond the immediacy of your needs. There's even a way to live beyond the immediacy of your sorrow. If you live long enough in life, there are going to be things happen to you that bring devastation to your life. And I'm telling you, if you live long enough, you will face these issues in your life. All of us, there'll be times in our life where these four needs, some of them will be so pronounced, they'll stop us in our tracks, and that's okay. Look, if today I threw all of us into a desert and we had no food or water or shelter, then these first four needs would become very important, and they should. So I'm not diminishing these needs. Neither did Maslow. But most people live and die, and they never get to the last four. They never get to the reason that they really were made and formed and created by God. It's why after this series and next weekend, when we do the game day, I'm going to do a 4-week series called Internal Affairs. I want to talk to you about why people get stuck in these four. I'm going to take you through a narrative of my journey in coming through these issues in my life. I'm not through them. I'm not finished with it. But I have to tell you, I've learned some things, and I've never really taken the time or ever felt inclined to really write a book before, but I'm writing a book about this very issue. Because there are reasons why people get stuck here. They don't want to. It's not that people want to get stuck. It's that we don't have the resources to get out of it. And so there are things that can cause you to get stopped. There are things that will cause to stop you in your tracks to live legacy. And they're real simple things. One is you can have a poor assessment of yourself. And many of us are like that. You know, many people think a poor assessment of self is humility. And that's not what humility is at all. You see, humility isn't when you think less of yourself. It's when you think of yourself less. It's when you don't have to have the total focus on you. And this assessment of ourselves is so important. And guys, it is critical that every person in this room know that Psalms 35 says God will stoop down and make you great. He's put greatness in the soul of every human being. And there's a way that you can live beyond just those four basic needs. Often people not only have a poor assessment of themselves, they have a wrong view of people. People can be really damaging to you in life. If you've been abused, and I can tell you statistically, 1 in 7 or 8 people in this room have suffered some form of abuse. And that is a very, very conservative statistic. Well, your view of people may not be very good. because it's people that brought you your greatest pain. But if you don't learn how to change that picture and expectation to realize that people are the most appreciative assets on the planet, they can be a great source of pain. But as you grow and become healthy, and the healthier you become in getting your needs met and finding and discovering who you really are, that no matter how unhealthy other people are, you learn a simple principle in life. And this is where I'm going to spend some time really. And guys, I'm telling you that 4-week series is a life message to me. Is that people do what they do because of who they are, not because of who you are. And when you learn that simple principle, you don't just learn it, you know how to live it. It could take the limits off of God in your life. We can have a wrong view of people. We can have a wrong view of God. Most people don't see God as He is. They don't see Him as an exceeding, abundantly God. They just don't see Him as He is. They don't see Him as a Heavenly Father. They see Him as a religious imposition. They don't see Him as the God who wants to bring you life and life abundantly. They don't see Him as a God that wants to lift you, wants to shelter you, wants to bring you to the place He's prepared for you. And that wrong view of God stops them in their tracks. It's why people don't dream. It's why they don't live beyond their own abilities. It's why they limit themselves to their own problems, their own past, or their own gifts and abilities. They never partner with God. I want you to dream so big in your life that it can't possibly happen unless God shows up. So many things on my bucket list. Look, if God Himself moves and it happens, that's how it's going to happen. Okay, I don't see some of those things happening without God Himself intervening. And I can tell you all the ones on my spiritual bucket list. If God doesn't show up, come on. It's just a person trying to do something. But I want you to live so big that you can't possibly fulfill everything in your heart in one lifetime. You know what that's called when you can't fulfill everything in one lifetime? It's called legacy. It's called starting something like a church 20 years ago. That when we in this room, those my age and older, are long in heaven, that the younger people in this room today and little kids that are out there, someday will take this to a whole nother level. But they couldn't have done it if people like you and me didn't fight through the fight. Look, I didn't ask to be a pastor of a church with a Bible in one hand and a hammer in the other. I didn't expect to do that with my life. But I don't regret one day of it. Because at the end of this, we will leave a legacy. We will not just have consumed. We will have left something significant to do something in this world besides curse darkness and criticize people. We're going to be a place in generations to come, if Jesus tarries His coming, where this will be a light to people in a very dark place and in a culture that has gone mad in 10 languages. And the fourth thing is this, is that we view our lives by time instead of eternity. I want you to just think with me of your life as an eyedropper. My life is this eyedropper, and I put up the ocean behind me. They did. That's wonderful. And can I hear the ocean? Oh, thank you for the hearing of the ocean. Anybody love the ocean? Isn't it just incredible? No, the rest of you don't like the ocean? Okay, how many of you like the Ohio River? Okay, anyway, so this eyedropper is your life. The ocean is eternity. Most people live their lives consumed in the eyedropper, which is the first four needs. The last four is living with an eternal perspective. It's where true fulfillment comes. Goodbye, ocean. Say goodbye to the ocean. I will see you soon in the name of Jesus someday soon. Come back to me, Mr. Ocean. But the last four needs that Maslow talked about are the ones that will bring fulfillment in your life. They're the ones that aren't just about getting through. And the fifth one was, he called them cognitive needs. Our appetite to learn, our appetite to understand. And you know, you can lose that so easily. I've had people say to me, "Well, I don't read. I'm done with school." No. When you lose your appetite for learning, it's why the History Channel is popular. It's why there are documentaries. It's why there's the Discovery Channel. It's why there's Duck Dynasty. Now, I cannot believe I've never watched Duck Dynasty yet. I know, I can't believe it. I've heard so much about it that what I'm going to do on a vacation is I'm going to go and I'm going to get caught up on Duck Dynasty. And I'm sure my wife will appreciate that. As I spend 4 or 5 hours a day just, and I know there's going to be some statements that will show up in church if I start watching Duck Dynasty. I think we need to do a series with Duck Dynasty in it somehow. We're going to do us a Duck Dynasty series, so I'm going to do some homework. That's what it is. Do some homework. All of us have cognitive needs. It's why we read. It's you have those. Now, we also have what Maslow called aesthetic needs. The appreciation for beauty. The appreciation for nature. It's why we go to the beach. It's why. Now, some of you may not be beach people, but there's something about walking on a beach. And I like to get away from people, so I'll walk until I find a spot where there aren't a lot of people. And I'll stand just early in the morning's the best. And I'll just stare out at the ocean, and there's just something about it. It's incredible. This need for these aesthetic needs, it's why dust ruffles exist. How many of you know what a dust ruffle is? How about a pillow sham? It's why there are 17 pillows on some of your beds. And your husband says, why? Now, my wife, we have a king-size bed, and there are a bunch of pillows and a big long one that's circular. That fits all the way across. If I was a kid and that was in my house, we'd have beat each other to death with that pillow. Okay? But there are two pillows that are in pillow shams. They've got to weigh 30 pounds. I grab those things and I'm like, yeah, and I flip them off. And I roll them off. They're huge. It's why when a guy finishes, or a lady, if you cut grass, or if you do landscape, or if you plant stuff, it's why when you're done, you don't just run in the house, you kind of sit back and look at it. There's just something about, and I'm not much of an outdoor person, I'm not a crazy outdoor person, but the older I get, the more I seem to enjoy it. For whatever reason, our neighborhood has become a sanctuary for wildlife. And there are at least 10 to 15 deer that live in my backyard, and there are 3 bucks, and one is a monster buck, telling you, if you had a good BB gun, you could shoot this thing from my bedroom window. Not that I would ever shoot the buck. To tell you very honestly, I have no problem with hunting, but I like them in my backyard. And there'll be deer in my backyard, and then there'll be 7 or 8 or 9 turkey that'll all come together, and then there was a coyote that ran through. I live in Cranberry. And it's just awesome. My kids are now to the point when they used to live at home, and now they're not here anymore. Except they're home now. All 3 are at home. This weekend, my son is home for fall break. All is good in the world. Thank you, Jesus. But I'll say to them, guys, come here. They're like, Dad, we've seen the turkey before. They're living in the first 4 is the problem. Trying to get them over to aesthetic needs. As my wife would say, baby, maybe some of the aesthetic needs might want to show up in how you dress. But that's another story for another day. See, if you're not careful, you'll miss that the enemy of your soul, he wants you to be deficient. He wants you stuck in the first 4. God wants you blessed. He wants you lacking when God wants you abundant. The 7th one is where the fulfillment really begins to start to materialize in your life. Maslow called it self-actualization. It's when you come to a place where you understand and you realize, why am I here? Why in the world am I here? When you found out not just why that you were born, but that why you were born. It's when you begin to understand your potential. It's why we love first place teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates. Didn't have a great season. Wasn't it fun this year watching the Pirates? But listen, guys, there was 20 some years. They stunk. I didn't know one player on the team for years. There's bugs in here, Steve Moore. Can you? He threw a paper wad at me. That was not a bug. It's why the Pirates for years, you know, if you went to PNC Park, it was to eat the food and look at the view. I used to go to Pirate games for these years and I'd show up. I didn't care who won. I really didn't. The other team hit a home run. I was, oh, it was a home run. But not this year. It's why the Steelers being 0-4. Did you feel it? I just ruined the whole service right there. It's why we're just like, oh, 0-4. We're playing the Jets today, so we should be 1-4, hopefully. Owen, can you imagine the Steelers 0-5? It's like we've become Cleveland. It's just wrong. And so do you know that only 2% of human beings ever get to this stage in life? And everything in me as a pastor, I mean everything in me as a pastor wants to see this need met in every one of our lives. It's why our growth track is so important. The 101, 201, 301, 401. This is the second Sunday of the month, so it is 201, which is coming tonight. Don't miss it. If you haven't been to 201 yet, OCD people, you have permission to go out of order. Just always do that for the OCD people. And you don't know who you are, but your spouses do. And all the spouses with OCD, never mind. Let's just stop right there. I don't want to get anybody in trouble on the way home from church. But every one of us, guys, every one of us, we're designed to find out why we're here. The 301 class next weekend, it is designed to help you get to number 7. We help you through a test and an assessment to discover who you are. What makes you weep or pound the table? What is it that brings the passion out of you in life? 401 is where you get to live it beyond yourself on our dream team and serve somewhere. It doesn't have to be even in, per se, quote, in the church ministries here. It can be leading a small group. But you get to do something that's passionate in your life. And until you understand that, and that alone will bring you true fulfillment, you will live your whole life in those first 4. And it is a terrible way to live. You are meant for more. The last one that Maslow talked about was this. He called them transcendent needs. And actually that was added after Maslow, but I won't go into those details. But transcendent needs, transcendence needs. It's your greatest and highest need as a human being. And here's what it is. It's when you take the reason you were made. Number 7, when you self-actualize, you've discovered why you're here. When you take what you've discovered and you now begin to use it for someone other than you. Maslow, now he's not a Christian, and maybe he was. I don't think Abraham Maslow was a Christian. There's no record of that. I don't know. What he found, though, that in people, even highly intelligent, even successful people, that if they didn't take what they realized they were here on the planet for and use it for something greater than themselves, that they would never be fulfilled. They might be wealthy. They might achieve. They might have esteem and recognition. They might have more than most would ever dream to have, but they'll never be fulfilled. And most people live and they die and they never get to this place in life. Literally, we're talking a fraction of a percentage of human beings that ever lived there. It's why it's the dream of my heart as a pastor. It's why I want to give my life for this, to see everybody in this room have the opportunity to live a transcendent life, to have an opportunity to truly live a fulfilled life. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It doesn't mean there aren't things behind you that devastate you. It doesn't mean there aren't things that where needs are going to be pronounced in your life. Look, all I need to have for this to change for me today is if someone I dearly love passes away tomorrow, my needs are going to change like that. And it's going to take me time. And it's okay when you have things happen in your life that can take your legs out from under you. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want to get stuck in your past, no matter what it is, because you were made to live a transcendent life as a believer. It's not something you do out of obligation. See, when you talk about living for others, Christians hear that as some kind of mandate from God to hate your life. They really do. Oh, you got to do this and I got to do that. And who wants to do that? But I guess you have to or God will hate you. That's not what this is about. This is actually what Maslow discovered. When people live this way, they live fulfilled lives. It's not done out of an obligation. It's a dream team type of living. And that's what ultimately in this church, if you come to this church, and guys, I'll take a moment and tell you again, if you'll come to weekend services on First Wednesday, if you'll go through Growth Track, if you'll get involved in a small group or lead a small group, and if you'll serve on the dream team, get involved living for something more larger than yourself, I guarantee you that you will not recognize the life you're living in 3 to 5 years. There will be doors open to you that never would have been open to you otherwise. There will be dreams that will resurface in you or emerge for the first time that you would have given up on. You say, but listen, I'm older now. That's too late for me. Are you dead yet? No. Listen, how many of you are here today? Then you are not dead yet. God wants to do amazing things in your life. Listen to what the word transcendence means. This is the definition of it. Tell me if this reminds you of Scripture. Transcendence means exceeding usual limits, surpassing and living beyond any ordinary experience. Beyond comprehension and living a life beyond limits and beyond our limits. How many of you want to live a life beyond comprehension and your limits? That's transcendent living. And Abraham Maslow discovered in human behavior, just how a person is just made, that they will not be fulfilled unless they live a transcendent life. Now, that's That's one thing if you're going to try to do it on your own. And the reason most people never get to transcendent living is they leave God out of the equation. Because you know what? Our limits are pretty incredible. Our past can be pretty stymie. It can stop you in your tracks. But I tell you something about God. He never gives up on you. He never looks at your past and puts a mark against you, whether it was something done to you or something you did. What I've learned about God is he's a God of plan A. Because we think, well, I got to go to plan B. I have to go to C, D. And then when I run through Z, I got to go double A, double B, double C. That's not how God works. You might feel like you're on triple A, L. I was going to say another letter didn't fit there. So whatever. You could be all the alphabet behind you. And you know what God's going to say to you over and over again? He's going to say it's plan A for you. Because what I do is I take your past and I forget it. And no matter how the people see you, what matters is how I see you. You're on plan A again. So, but God, I've ruined so much of my life, and my life is in debt. Nope, plan A. I'm God. You get to swing till you hit the ball. They tell you three strikes and you're out. God says, I'll keep pitching. But that's not fair. God says, shut up, I'm God. If you can't hit the ball, he'll get a T-ball for you. He will. He loves you. He wants you to live a transcendent life. Ephesians chapter 3, listen to what this means to partner with this kind of God to live this way. He said, now to him, by who? By the consequence of his actions and power that is at work within us. This God, listen, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. And then he said, now to him be glory, where at? In the church. And where at? In Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, legacy, forever and ever. Amen. Or so be it. He's simply saying that when you partner with God, he said he's the God that desires to do super abundantly, far and above anything you can even ask or think. You talk about transcendent living. God said, I'm able to bring you to that. He wants you to do something so amazing with your life. It exceeds anything you could ask or think. Now, if you think selfishly, you'll think about just you. But when you think in the context of being a part of something that's lifting and changing and helping others, it's an incredible way to live. And God wants to bring us to every one of that. Now, look, if you're looking for a church that's going to live in only these four, and there are all times in our lives when we're in just the first four of those needs, I tell you, this is not the church. Let me say as well, and if you're looking for a no-risk life and a no-risk church, respectfully, I say to you, you're in the wrong church and you're serving a God you don't know yet. God will not sit back and let you rest in nothing. He made you for more. He'll never let go of you. Not because he's trying to push you to something to harm you, but he's trying to bring you to a life of peace and grace and fulfillment. This church exists to get people to number eight living, a transcendent way of living, to move up higher. And it is by God's grace that we will finish well as a church. We will do the mandates, fulfill the mandates that Jesus has given us for our generation. And we will leave a legacy for the generation to come. And the three initiatives, and we're winding this down this morning. The first one, of course, I talked to you about is the School of Ministry, and I've talked to you about that. We really do have some incredible young people here. They're incredible. How many of you, when you've driven out, have seen the volleyball courts and all that that's been built over there? There's a fountain. There's a whole thing with a building grill. How many of you have seen that when you drive out? In fact, you can show a picture of those. They'll come up behind me. A young man in our church, Tim Bean, has a company that he does landscaping and he does incredible designs. And so his company had a job go slow this summer and he had free time. He's 29 years old. Instead of just thinking about himself, do you know what he did? He brought his whole crew here. And for we've got materials. Other people started finding out about it. Some guy in our church bought the grass what do you call the grass that rolls out? Sod. Thank you, Steve Moore, and all you that helped me. Bought sod. Another gentleman gave money to pay some of his employees. But instead of Tim thinking about just himself, he built this at your church. And let me tell you something. It's made of stone. It's going to be here when we're gone. But you know what? We have young people like Tim and Alyssa who go to this church. And the young men that work for his company, virtually all of them go to this church and are Christians. And they're kids, they're in their 20s. You know how many people in their 20s would be consumed with themselves? Let me tell you guys, this church is in good hands and we want to do everything we can to equip this generation to do the things that God's put in their heart. And that's incredible. How many of you are thankful for Tim building that for our church? Isn't that beautiful? It's VLC Landscaping, and I'd encourage you in construction. You say, well, are you doing a commercial? Yes. Because he does amazing work. He really does. And he does some stuff. But here's the thing. Instead of just doing some stuff, when he had the downtime, instead of sitting, he came here and did something great for God. I tell you, I'm so grateful. Also, we talked about, of course, the initiative of helping 300 churches. And we talked to you about that. And then let me tell you about the last one, and then we're going to wind it. We'll close for this morning. Is that we want to leave this ministry debt-free. Now, in building this 53,500 square foot addition, it was over $15 million to build. And you gave right at about $9 million. That's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible. We've incurred $6 million plus in additional debt in building this building. And the first thing I want to do is, over time, I want to see that paid off. Now, let me talk to you for a minute about, how many of you know who Keith Moore is? Okay. Now, Keith came to me when he was here and said, John, what's in your heart for the future? And I began to talk to him about leaving this ministry debt-free for the next generation. And he told me a story that, if you'll let me just indulge me for a few moments, that at first I didn't quite understand what he was saying. He said, and I didn't understand why he was telling me. He said, John, when we were redoing the building we bought and hundreds of volunteers were showing up and working, what I would do is I'd go to each group that were volunteering and I would just stop and I'd want every one of them to know how thankful I was they were there, and I'd thank them. And then I'd thank this one, I'd thank that one. And I was doing that over and over again. And finally, God got a hold of my heart and he said, stop thanking those people. And I have to tell you, when he said that, I thought, I don't know. That made sense to me. He said, but it wasn't that I shouldn't thank people. He said, here's what was happening, though. What I was saying to them is thank you for doing something for me. In other words, I was taking ownership away from them. How many of you have ever gone to somebody who's cutting their grass in their own yard, stopped them and said, excuse me, thank you for cutting your grass? That's what he said to me. He said, you don't do that. He said, what I was doing was teaching them by doing that over and over again, that they were doing something for me. And he said, and this isn't my church. Paying this off is not paying it off for someone else. It's your church. It's your children's church. It is the church your grandchildren can come to and your great-grandchildren can come to. So are we going to do some type of specific campaign that's real structured? No. What I am going to do is to give you a picture every first Sunday of the month and then the middle of the month and show you a graphic that shows you where we are in the process of paying off that additional $6+ million in debt. And it looks like that right now, as you can see, and every $122 designated given, and you don't have to give 122. You can give 20 bucks, whatever, and just designate it to the payoff. Every $122 will take off a square foot. When that's done and is next year, our construction loan is finishing, we'll start paying principal and interest on the debt. And we'll show you as that begins to color and fill up, and we're going to pay that thing off. Why are we going to do that? Because it's one of the things, the mandates in my heart, is that we are going to leave this campus built, filled, and paid for to the next generation. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. And I'll tell you this, I think, you know, virtually anybody, I mean, anybody can make a difference on that. If we just all just do what God leads you to do. Look, you say, well, Pastor, I'm telling you, watch, there will be people come and they'll put 150,000, 200,000, half a million, a million. People will give that way. And let me tell you why. And when people give those kind of monies, I know people get shocked. They're like, can you believe that? Can I tell you who does those kind of things? Can I tell you who pays off a building that, quote, they don't own? It's people that learn to live a transcendent life. And so we're not going to take a whole lot of time with it. I'll bring it to your attention. It'll run on a graph so you'll be able to see it or on a slide. I'll talk to you the first of the month, the middle of the month, literally 30 to 90 seconds just to give you updates, okay? But we are going to see this building not only built, all the campus filled or built out, but we're going to see it filled and we're going to see it paid for, ready for the next generation. Can you believe God with us for that? It's your house. It's your house. It's your house. Now, let me pray for you right where you're at. And would you bow your heads with me today? I want to pray for you that you'll live a transcendent life. The Bible talks about cover to cover, living a life of making a difference. And it's a life when you make a difference for others that acts for others that actually causes your life to be fulfilled. And God wants you to live a fulfilled life more than you want to live one. And I want to pray for every person here under the sound of my voice so that you can truly hear the heart of God, the heartbeat of God for you, and that you don't live your life trapped in the present. But by the grace of God, He'll take you beyond those four needs that we all have. He'll take you beyond your past, beyond your heartaches. And He'll take you places you never dreamed possible. And it will only happen by living this way. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. Thank you for your great love that you have for each and every person here. Lord, help us to see how amazing it is to walk with you. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. I know there are people in this room that have been on this journey and they're on their way and they've experienced you in their everyday life. And yet, Lord, I know there are people in this room that they struggled to get out of bed to make it here today. They can't see living a transcendent life. They almost can't see getting through the week. Lord, help them to know they're in a church that will fight life through with them. Help them to know they're in a church that won't give up on them because they serve a God that won't give up on them. That we will fight life through together and they will walk out their purpose and you will be a super abundant, more than they ask or think, God. I pray that upon every heart, upon every life. Lord, I pray for the legacy initiatives you've put in our hearts as a church. I thank you for that school of ministry. I thank you for helping 300 churches to do the exceeding and abundantly above what they think they can do, for changing the spiritual culture in the Northeast. And I thank you that this property, this campus is debt free by faith in Jesus' name. We proclaim that. And so, Lord, I pray that over your people in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, I didn't ask you if you're a good person. That's fine if you are. And you likely you are. I didn't ask you if you're religious or gone to church or been baptized or confirmed or had a sacrament of a church. That's all wonderful. None of that's bad. But let me tell you, I'm a pastor, and let me tell you something very honestly from the Scripture. There is no church that can make you a Christian. No church. There is salvation in no church, including this one. There is salvation never in being a good person. You can't earn this. There is no salvation in any sacrament of any church, and that includes the one you're in. There is no salvation in a pastor or a priest or any minister of any kind, including this pastor. Only by giving your life to the one who gave his life for you can you receive the free gift of eternal life. Jesus died for people like you and me who had a sin stain, and only Jesus paid the debt. And only by accepting that sacrifice can you receive the free gift of eternal life. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to invite Jesus in my heart to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, pray for me. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand up real high so I can see it? And I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me with those that have. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. One last moment as I look across this crowd. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you'll be a child of God, your sin washed away. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open my heart to you today, Lord, and I receive you as the Savior of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I will walk with you in everyday life. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.